Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Derek Felix, and over the next hour, we'll be talking about lots of different topics here on the Hard Hits Network here on Blog Talk Radio. How is everybody out there? Hope everybody is safe. Hope everybody is following the letter of the law and the rules with this curfew. And I just hope that things improve. And that's been a theme been talking about lately, and I will continue to talk a little bit about that. But I'm also going to be able to mix in, believe it or not, we're actually going to be able to mix in some sports news. Yes, we actually got some NBA stuff to discuss, and maybe some baseball. We'll slide in some baseball. Will there even be baseball this year? So that's something to discuss as well. This is the one and only Derek Felix, D Flux here. Derek Bucks Felix here in Staten Island in the Big Apple over in the Forgotten Borough, the Park Borough, as I like to call it, because we got beautiful parks here in Staten Island, Shaolin, Wu-Tang reference right there. We got Clove Lakes. We got Wolf's Pond Park. We got Conference House. Yes, very historic area, actually, if you think about it. When it goes, dates back to the American Revolution. Yeah, we got that. We got all sorts of parks. Bloomingdale Park, that's another one. Yeah, we got a lot of parks out here. So, Staten Island's very different compared to other places. But, we do have some unique stuff out here. Maybe there isn't a lot to do over here on the South Shore, where I'm at, over in the Charleston area. Pretty close to Tottenville, but if you take a drive or you drive around, whether it's Richmond Town, historic Richmond Town that is, and or you go to Old Tottenville, or maybe you go to Silver Lake Park, things are starting to get back to a little semi-normal. I mean, it's going to take some time, obviously, especially here on June the 2nd of 2020. And with the COVID-19 pandemic, and I was up early this morning after I read a couple more chapters of the rise and fall of the Stanley Cup winning New York Rangers, Losing the Edge. And that's a really good book, I will say that. It's not just about all the politics, and there were a lot of politics, unfortunately, and but a lot of inside stuff, inside information that you just didn't know about. Like, I knew about some of it, but I didn't know about, there was stuff that I didn't know about. So, I'm not going to talk too much about that. We're still waiting on hockey, and we're still waiting on a lot of things right now, and there are protests, of course, going on, and I just hope that they'll get more peaceful. There'll be less of those people who are the resistance, who are the far extreme people that are trying to ruin these protests. And that includes the very significant group, Black Lives Matter. Now, they're not, I think most of their message is to just get across that it's unacceptable to be treated and mistreated the way they have been for years. So I don't want to get it wrong, and sometimes I do, but I talk about it frequently. Any kind of racism is intolerable, and it's disgusting, and it shouldn't be. And I'm Jewish, so I would know a little bit about it. You know, but I'm lucky; I never had to undergo that kind of thing. So that's where we are right now. We're right in the middle of a lot of stuff, but there is persecution, and we do get blamed for a lot of things. You could go through the history books. Through the history books, it hasn't been kind to Jewish people, especially from Israel. So, and we know about Nazi Germany and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah. So, and that's where we are right now. It's where we stand. So I got a little Japanese dinner, a little soup, and some light stuff because my stomach's kind of it hasn't been a good day for me. So in that apartment, but I'm not gonna make too much light of that. I think the soup will definitely do the trick for me. Want to hand out the phone number, and this number started to get very easy to memorize. 516-531-9641. Give us a call, 516-531-9641. I'm live until 10 Eastern time. So it's a 1 hour show, 1 hour live. I've been doing 1 hour shows lately. Last night was solo. Some of the other cast characters, they do know that I am live and I am doing this. I have linked everything up. They can listen to it if they like, or they can take part in it if they like. Like I said, I don't force anybody to do anything. So it's really up to them. It's their decision. They want to take part and discuss certain things. We can. We can, because normally this is basically a sports show anyway. But these are not normal times. And when it's not normal times, you tend to have other topics. I just actually did a Periscope recently. And what did I do? All I did was go on my little Periscope. And that's, I have two different ones. One is just like my name, basically, Derek B. Period Felix. And the other one, though, is DFlex2123, like on Twitter, where you can follow me. And all I did was just put up some videos of some of my favorite rappers like Tupac, Shakur, Changes. I did also California Love, the long version of him and Dre, Dr. Dre, of course, when they teamed up on the Suge Knight when they were part of Death Row Records. I miss Tupac. I miss Biggie too. I love old school rap. And then I did one of my favorites, just a classic song. And actually from a movie, one of the better Spike Lee movies, Do the Right Thing. And gee, what was that about? Got a lot of very similar stuff that's going on right now. So, and that would be Public Enemy, Fight the Power, with Chuck D and the gang over there. And Flavor Flav, my favorite. So I don't think I've ever seen like the whole video. So I was watching it. I was getting a kick out of it. I guess I just get a kick out of seeing Flavor Flav with the chain, the old school chain. And I don't know. It's just cool. It's cool to look at. So it's just a little message. I am also on Instagram. Same thing. DFLEX2123. You can request me on there. And if you're someone legit, I'll accept you. Yeah, I keep it private because, I mean, sometimes I just get stuff. I get followed by people that I just don't understand why they're following me. So, I mean, there's a lot of bots on there. There's a lot of, sometimes I don't understand what the heck's going on, but Instagram is doing this very interesting thing where they're doing this blackout, this Tuesday blackout. I guess it's kind of like a trend to do. Everybody's just taking a photo of it in of dark or whatever, and they're just doing a blackout. And they're doing that as a hashtag, blackout, instead of Black Lives Matter. Now, here's my thoughts on it. I don't have any problems with that. If that's what people want to do, they want to coordinate that, they could do that. I did read an interesting comment, though, from a black person, actually, African-American, who responded to one of my favorite tennis players. She's retired now. She's doing tennis stuff. She probably wishes she could broadcast, but she's doing her own podcast. That's Daniela Hantakova, a very attractive, retired female tennis player. And she turned 37. I can't believe that. She looks great. From Slovakia. I follow her on Instagram. And what they said, they had something interesting to say. They said that this is just like a, what were the exact words? What were the exact words? Because it was very interesting what they said. I'm actually going to go and look it up here, because this is kind of sports related, since she is a, she did the blackout, she took part in it. And I'd actually like to reread it. There only are five comments. I have two of them. I mean, one very positive. This is Shannon. Shannon K2575 says, "I love you, Daniela, but as black guy in NYC," so he's from New York City, just like I am, "stuff is a social fad. Blackout Tuesday and all this BS. Injustice of any kind should not be treated as a social fad. Something to do post-coronavirus when everyone was hiding in the house from coronavirus. It's truly about something bigger, these things." I think that he's kind of right about that. "Until I see new world order hashtags, please, then you'll be sheep. You are way too beautiful and intelligent to post." She is way too intelligent and beautiful to post this stuff. But I don't think it makes her bad, because she, all right, so is it a fad to do it? I don't know. Is it kind of like a, is it just like the in thing to do? Where people are doing it? Yes. Will I do it later? I guess you'll have to stay tuned to find out. I mean, I don't really post a lot of photos anyway, unless I'm outside and taking photographs, or maybe going through some of my old albums or some of my old baseball cards or stuff. But if I'm outdoors, yeah, if I go to a park, I'll post photos. So, I mean, I'm not, let's put it this way, I'm updating my story a hell of a lot more than I am putting up photos. I used to put up a lot. I had a lot of photos on my thing. I really need to, like, delete a whole bunch of them. I got too many. I got too many on there, and I don't need that much. I've been on Instagram for, like, 3 years, and yeah, I mean, it goes fast. We are in June of 2020, and it's been, what, 3 years? Everybody likes to clean out, like, their stuff. This is something that I have noticed. I don't know if it's just the, you know, people just like to clean things out. If I like a picture, there's a lot of photos that I like. I have some old photos saved, actually, on my Google. Yeah, on my Gmail, whatever, Google account from like 2012 or 2013. And God, it didn't feel like it, but I was young back then. It didn't feel like it. I was young. I looked pretty good. But I still look good. It's just, you know, the older you get, it's just harder to maintain. And I'm kind of getting sick of there being no gym. But I really want that gym to be reopened. And that, even if it means social distancing and a certain amount of people are allowed in, I need to be in that gym. The good news is I haven't put a lot of weight on. The bad news is that some of the weight has gone to the midsection, and I don't like that. And I do stretching, and I do some stuff here, loose weights, but it's not enough. So I got to get on everything, and I got to overcome my anxiety, which has been up and down. And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that I've had some struggles. I think mental health is a very important issue, and that needs to be further discussed. And sometimes when I see some of the things that people do, I wonder where their mental health is, what the heck their thinking is. So, and that includes the governor of the city who makes foolish statements like he did about the cops. But I'm not going to dwell too much on that. What I am going to do is I'm going to take a little break. And when I come back, I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to talk a little bit about the NBA. Yeah, the NBA. That's up next when we come back after this.
I'm saying that's what this is all about, right? Clothes, bank rolls, and hoes, you know what I'm saying? Yo, then what, man? What?
Visualizing the realism of life in actuality. Fuck who's the baddest, the person's status depends on salary. And my mentality is money orientated. I'm destined to live the dream for all my peeps who never made it. Cause yeah, we were beginners in the hood as proper sinners. But something must have got in us, cause all of us turn to sinners. Now some resting in peace and some are sitting in San Quentin. Others such as myself are trying to carry on tradition. Keeping this weapon rest and speak at a western spot us. Cause it provides us with the proper insight to guide us. Even though we know somehow we all gotta go. But as long as we leave and even we'll be leaving with some kind of dope. So into that day we expire and turn to vapors. Me and my capers, I'll be somewhere stacking plenty papers. Keeping it real, packing still, getting high. Cause life's a bitch and then you die. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff lies.
Essence of adolescence leaves my body now freshened. My physical frame is celebrated cause I made it. One quarter through life, some godly like thing created. Got rhymes, 365 days annual plus some. Load up the mic and bust one. Cuss while I puss from my skull cause it's pain in my brain vein. Money maintained, no go against the grain, simple and plain. When I was younger, this I used to do my thing hard. Robbing foreigners, take their wallets, their jewels, and rip their green cards. Just to the project flashing, my quick cash and got my first piece of ass smoking blunts with hash. Now it's all about cash in abundance. Niggas I used to run with is richer, doing years in the hundreds. I switched my motto. Instead of saying fuck tomorrow, that buck that bought a bottle could have struck the lotto. Once I stood on the block, loose cracks, produced stacks. I cooked up and cut small pieces to get my loot back. I'm a dillmatic, keep static like
you're back. A little bit of Nas featuring AZ, Life's a Bitch. And then you die. So, from the Illmatic album. One of the best. I have that old album, too. So, to hard hits, it is Derek Felix here. As we go until 10 o'clock tonight, and if people do call in, maybe we'll have some overtime, and if people don't, then I probably won't do overtime, because there wouldn't be any reason to. You know, I little switch of gears here. They've been airing all these old games, I don't watch too many of them. I guess it's hard to watch these old games sometimes. But they did have on Rangers and Devils from 1992. Not 94, but the 92 year. That was the year the Rangers won the President's Trophy, just like 94. That was the year that Messier came to the team. That was the year they had Jeff Bukalum, Adam Graves, and Roger Nielsen was the coach. And it turned into a very disappointing result. And then he also had Mike Richter and John Van Beesbrook sharing that. With the year that Brian Leach went over 100 points, that's the last defenseman to go over 100 points. John Carlson would have come close. He would have come close. I thought Mike Green was good, actually. He was also on the Caps. I thought he had a chance to do it, but he never did. Yeah, Leach had 102 points and won the Norris Trophy. And just to watch the Devils and Rangers, and this is the 92 series, it was the Patrick Division semifinal, so it's the first round. So now for the Metro. They should just, I don't understand, why not just go back to the traditional name? Why not? What's stopping them from? What's so good about the Atlantic? And why? How did the Atlantic Division go from being the division that was of the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Washington Caps, to suddenly the Atlantic got shifted to the old Adams Division, which was really Northeast, where you got the Buffalo Sabres and playoffs so long. It's just sad. And Jack Eichel had a lot to say about that. He was very frustrated. And you could certainly understand the season that he put up this year. Terrific. Terrific. What do you have, 78 points? I think that's what it was. And you got when it was the Sabres, the Bruins, the Canadiens, that was back when the Quebec Nordiques were in the old Adams. But, you know, you have the Leafs. Remember, the Maple Leafs used to be in the Norris. They used to be in the other conference. So does the awful Detroit Red Wings. We have the best odds. I don't put too much stock in that. Best odds of actually getting that first overall pick and maybe landing the next big star from Canada. So, been so long that, yeah, I mean, it takes a little time to just remember everything. But I don't know. It's just strange to me what division is. I want to get back to this Devils Rangers. They showed game one. That was a Ranger win. 2-1. 2-1, and Gartner got the winner. He had six goals in the series. And seventh game, the Rangers put a little bit of a beating on the Devils. They beat them by a score of 8-4. They doubled them up. And I watched almost the first two full periods. They just killed the Devils on special teams. Killed them. One of the things I really liked about this game, aside from, you notice a little difference with the crowd, the energy in the crowd, the electricity. You know, something about those old games. And man, now that's like, that's 28 years ago, man. I mean, I was what, a sophomore in high school or junior? Yeah. No, I was a sophomore. But, like, there was just something about these games. Maybe because it wasn't as corporate. Maybe it's because it wasn't as corporate. That's probably why. Maybe it's enough, or maybe because the tickets weren't charging an arm and a leg for them. But there's just something there. The energy in that building. Same thing for 94. You watch some of those old games, and the energy and electricity at the old Garden. I'm not talking about the original Garden, which was on like 8th Avenue and further down on the west side. But the Garden before they decided to do the renovation, before they modernized it, and before it became like a library, because you could make a good case that the world's most renovated arena is now the world's most renovated library, because it's very hard to start chance and get Let's Go Ranger chance going unless it's like the Islanders. When facing the Islanders, it's a big game, And I'm glad we were able to go to one. Crowds into it. Then you have some electricity, or it takes a special performance like Mika Zibanejad's 5-goal game, which I'm proud to say that I was at. And it takes a lot. So of course, these are playoff games anyway. So, yeah, the crowd's going to be louder anyway. But there's just a noticeable difference. I mean, I've been going to games for 25 years, almost 25 years, man. And it really is. I remember one of my first games. I got to meet the great JD. Climbed over the rail after the Flyer game. And he autographed my meaty guy. I saw it. I found it. I still have it. And then he had a Fox game the next day with Doc Emmerich. The great Doc Emmerich. Him and John Davidson were a great team. And they had Micheletti as the reporter, I think, back then. Hey, Sam used to do games. He still does football on Fox. How much longer, I don't know. But you know, there was another game that was my birthday, basically. It was my 19th birthday, yeah. 1995, December 8th. They played the Red Wings, and it was a good game. The Red Wings got themselves some penalty trouble in overtime, and they took two penalties. This is back when it was still 5-on-5 at overtime, and the Rangers wound up with 5-on-3. And they didn't mess around with the puck, and Leach snapped it across to Pat Verbeek, and he won the game. And Pat Verbeek was really, really good that one year. Oh, what did he score, like 46 goals? Something like that. He had a great year. And then he left, and he signed elsewhere. But it was worth it. It was worth it, even if one of those first-round picks turned into Jagr. They traded that pick to the Whalers. Verbeek was a damn good player. Ah, he was. Boy, that was a great line. It really was. Too bad they couldn't keep him. So 516-531-9641, talking a little bit about the hockey, about this 92 series. I'll tell you one thing. Seeing those jerseys the Devils used to wear, the good old Christmas ornament jerseys, or you call them Halloween if you want, the red and green. I love those jerseys. You know, they've always had good jerseys. Whether it was the ornaments or it's the red and red, white, and black that they do now, they do have good jerseys. They still wear those jerseys just on like retro for retro games, and they're cool. They're cool. It's cool to see them wearing those old jerseys. So I like it. So that way you know where I stand. The old jerseys too. But here's the thing. You start looking at these two rosters. This is only 2 years before their memorable 7-game conference final. Drag it out. And this one was a 7-game series too. So, yeah, they were both 7-game series, except the stakes were a lot higher 2 years later. And, I mean, you had some familiar faces. You had Messier, Graves, Richter. Well, he didn't play in the game 7. It was Ben Beesbrook. Leach. But Ukaboom. But a lot of players. Was Kevin Law on the team by then? I don't think he was yet. No, I don't think so. So there weren't. It's weird because, like, there weren't a lot of players that were left over 2 years later. A lot of players were gone. Guys like James Patrick and Darren Turcotte, who wound up turning into Steve Larmer. And that was a great trade by Neil Smith. Mike Keaton influenced it. And it was a great trade. Chris King and Ty Domi turned into Ed Olczyk. But Olczyk didn't play a lot under Keaton, but he was the player's player. I love Domi. I didn't love Domi when he fought Probert. There was no Sergei Zubov. I didn't notice Kovalev. Almonte was out there. Almonte was great. He's great in all sorts of stuff. So, Tony Almonte, yeah, we got a phone call here from a New Jersey number. All right. Hi, you're on.
Hello.
Hello? Yeah, hi. Who's calling?
Madison.
Oh, Madison. Oh, okay. This is your number. Okay. Ah, how are you?
I'm good.
Wow.
You were so confused there for a second. A Jersey number. Who could this be?
You know what? You know, because I've worked this switchboard, right, for so many years.
Right.
And if I see a number that I don't recognize, I saw 732. I'm like, wow, this is different. Like, I was like, all right, this is different. This is way different. So it's great to have you join. It's just us.
Yeah,
two.
Is it just us? Or is anybody? It is just us for now. Okay, yeah. I saw you were live. Was I going to give a call? Because
well,
I missed the last two nights.
I was talking about this 92 Rangers-Devils series that they were showing before. Because I was just thinking about, like, how many – well, first off, the Devils' jerseys were—they were wearing those Christmas ornaments, so I kind of like that. And a lot of players that were on these teams, they were gone. They were gone like a year later. I mean, I named pretty much like the Rangers: Messier, Graves, Bookaboom, Richter. Even though he was the backup in this game, and Richter played three games, I think, in the series. They went with Beezer for the seventh game. Maybe they just went with the experience. But, like, then you look at the Devils. They had Danico. They had Claude Lemieux. I hated him. Oh, my God. I hated him. Oh, God. I can't believe we have his son. He drives me nuts.
Is it on MSG?
It was. I don't know what they're showing now.
Yeah, right now on MSG is a Detroit Pistons, New York Knicks, Game 5 Eastern Conference Quarterfinals from 1992.
They're showing it. They're
right
showing
now.
That one? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that,
I'm getting
that
the Pistons. And then on MSG Plus right now, MSG Plus is Montreal Islanders in 93.
Oh, that's when they made that little run. And they must have shown the Islanders when they beat the Penguins in Game 7. With David Bollock getting the game winner. Yeah, that upset them. The Penguins were the big heavy favorites to win. I remember that. But I'm just thinking. Like,
yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say Montreal won the cup that year.
They did. Yeah, well, they won all those games in overtime. Like, that's why people consider Patrick Roy, a lot of people consider him the best because he had this great overtime record.
Right.
He couldn't be beat in overtime. I think they like had like maybe 10 or 11 games go to overtime. And like they might have won like maybe 9 or 10 in a row. Something, some crazy number.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know how you win all those games. But I guess maybe it's just because, like, it's like a psychological edge once you win a couple. We'll find a way to win. I mean, the 94 Rangers, they didn't have to go to as many games in overtime. And they even lost a couple of games in overtime. The Devils in Game 1. Stefan Richer with the one-hander. Fast Richter, that was nice. The Canucks, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Right.
A goal post was hit by Brian Leetz or Kevin Long. And then the other way, the Canucks came and countered, and they scored. A beautiful setup by Cliff Ronning to Greg Adams, 3-on-2 of Bore, and they won game one. But, you know, the Rangers did show the character to bounce back and win the other big games in overtime, like against the Devils in the other games at the Meadowlands. Stefan Bratelli, his first one in game 3. And, of course, Game 7. So, and they just said, we're going to find a way to win. And just as I said that, it's raining. It's starting to rain here. Is it raining there? Well, as you consider that, I have the one and only Dan Wheeler. Dan Wheeler is with us. Mr.
Yay!
Wheeler. Big fan.
So, we're going to do a show in day. Set what the new norm is.
Hey, this is a normal time. I mean, I actually decided to maybe just do like a normal time. Figure it might go better. I don't know.
Yeah, because last couple nights it's been at 1 o'clock in the morning and I've been asleep, and then I get private messages from Ben and Brian. Why weren't you on Derek's show? Where were you?
Look, not everybody can make my shows. I mean, I understand that. I don't get upset.
I know you don't.
I used to get upset at JPG, though, because JPG sometimes he would, like, say he was going to be part of the show, and he would disappear. But he didn't do that as that often. Brian sometimes would be like, oh, yeah. Well, Brian don't sell me a lot, as you know. He just says, no, I'm not taking part. Oh, man. Do I ever no-sell Brian when it comes to George Brew? Vegas Brew.
I guess that's the new name.
Oh, it's definitely the new name. It's on. If he seriously, I hope the Bruins and Vegas Golden Knights meet in the final.
That's going to be funny.
You know what kind of button push that would be, Dan?
That's going to be great.
I don't know, Derek. Is it going to be like the multiple ones that we talk about Derek's Pirates, Derek's Mets, Derek's Red Sox, Derek's Yankees, Derek's Royals? Is this just getting back?
You know,
for that,
I'm gonna let you have your fun if this happens. I'm gonna let you do it, and I'm just gonna sit back and watch.
Well,
that's what I'm gonna do.
Everybody loves a good golden shower.
Do you remember when John nicknamed the Golden State Warriors the Golden Showers?
No.
He did. He used to call them the Golden Showers. That's where it originated from. I don't know if either of you knew that.
Well, Brian would also tell me that Vegas would be called the Golden Showers also, so Brian gets some credit too.
Brian can come up with some really great nicknames. He really can. And Brian,
he's pretty good.
Brian is a huge fan of chaos. That's definite. He loves the chaos. Speak of chaos,
Eric.
What's this I hear or see about the NBA and their very strange proposal to have 22 teams, and oh wait, they're gonna have their NBA final like in October? Is that like,
yeah, and then
really
a very short off season, and then the 2021 season will start on Christmas. That's what my prediction is.
I'm not on board at all. If that's what they're thinking is, then they need to maybe talk to Gary Bettman, because it seems like the NHL's plan is better. Because we know
the NHL's plan better too.
We know that the NHL, they're doing the plans, and but you know what? Look, all right. They're trying something different. But playoffs, they'll be finished by the end of September, or maybe yeah. I mean, I just think that's better. I mean, if I was a player, right? If I was one of these players, and they do return, we're assuming everything goes well here, okay? We haven't even gotten into the dysfunction that is baseball, but we will. There's enough time for it. I at least want about 3 months time to recover. So I want at least 3 months.
Oh my God.
What?
Oh my God. Oh my God. I just won a lot of money on DraftKings. Like, I'm not even kidding. On a free contest. I won $250 on a free contest on DraftKings. I just noticed that. Holy shit.
Awesome.
Really?
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll be right back. Let me go tell my mother.
Derek, so how did you get away from being arrested at the riots? Because I know you were with your girlfriend, Bill de Blasio's daughter.
I don't attend protests because I have anxiety and I would not do well with crowds, and I just wouldn't feel safe.
That's why your girlfriend was there with you, buddy. She was giving you that support. And then when things got wild,
come on.
You ran.
Man, are you really gonna push this?
I'm not just pushing it. I'm jamming this. All in. Roar. Roar, let's make fun and have jokes about Derek. Roar.
Dan loves to do this. I mean, and now I have to look at this ugly picture of this crazy person, and she looks like she's crazy. And
it's pretty much how I imagine you on the computer. Because whenever you talk on the phone or you talk on video, you're just like a perfectly normal guy. But then,
I know this is going to sound strange, but I do not look like that when I type. Oh. I know that I understand why you would think that, but I'm telling you, I categorically deny the charges. Categorically.
Well, only the FBI knows. And we need to get J&S FBI computer to figure this out once and for all.
My brother by blood relation?
Yes, your brother has the FBI computer.
So, if they have these 22 T's, Madison, are they going to play some regular season? Are they going to play some regular season games, or are they going to just do some kind of other thing? Like, what's the exact plan? Attack.
My conspiracy theory is, I think it personally should be 20, not 22. That's why I kind of like the NHL plan better. It should be 20, not 22, because you'll see the Phoenix Suns potentially in the postseason. That's like hockey's Montreal. That's like having Montreal in the playoffs. But, like, that's, like, the one thing I don't like about the NHL, like, the fact that Montreal's in it. And I think Montreal's easily the worst team in the NHL playoff thing. But if they do the 22 teams, the Phoenix Suns would be a part of it, and they stink. My thing is that they should do 20. Invite back the Wizards, and you invite back those teams that were close in the Western Conference, San Antonio, Sacramento, and New Orleans. And then do a couple tune-up regular season games, and maybe whoever does the best between those teams that are playing for, like, those last couple playoff spots, maybe do, like, the one spot in the West and then two spots in the East, because Brooklyn and Orlando were, like, battling for 7th and 8th, and, like, the Wizards were creeping up on them. And pretty much in the West, you had the 7 all locked up, and then the 8th spot was the one that was sort of up for grabs. You have the last spot in the West and the two spots in the East sort of, quote-unquote, up for grabs, and then have the Wizards plus the Pelicans, the Spurs, and the Sacramento Kings in the West with Memphis, and then put the Wizards with Brooklyn and Orlando and then battle it out for, like, those last couple playoff spots, and then just go – to 16 from there. That's what I think they should do, but I don't know.
I think that anytime, we've never seen anything like this, to be honest, gentlemen. No, we Dutch gentlemen, lady and gent. We've never seen anything like this.
Rude.
I know. I apologize. But we've never seen anything like this. So for these leagues, I just think it is very hard for them. They don't want to lose their revenue. They're both in caps, and it just makes it increasingly difficult. I just think that if you have to play games in October, that just seems a little bit crazy to me. What do I know? And if you're going to do that, then your first round better be best 3 out of 5 like it used to be. That's what I have to say about that. That's my commentary. Right.
I think the NBA first round should go from best of 7 to either best of 5 or best of 3. But best of 5, I think, is fine.
Well, the best of 5 format was pretty good. I mean, they had that for a while.
8 seed Knicks to 90-99.
That 99 team, though, I got to be honest. You have to remember it was a short year, and they just couldn't find the chemistry during the year. And Ewing, of course, battled the injuries. And we knew if they faced the Heat that they had a shot at it. They were a live 8 seed. They weren't your normal 8 seed. When we talk
That's
about
true.
That,
they weren't your normal 8 seed. They underachieved in that regular season.
Oh, big time. Big time. I mean,
yeah, that's right. That's why they weren't.
Yeah,
you're right. They weren't your typical 8 seed. It was probably the best 8 seed, one of the best 8 seeds ever. I think that's what Jeff Van Gundy would tell you. Jeff Van Gundy would tell that to you. That's for sure.
They had proven players.
Did somebody say short?
We do have time. Talk about this craziness that is baseball, where they're living in their own world, and somehow the owners they only want to have a 40-game season. And I just think that's the most ridiculous thing that I've ever seen. And the players are like at 114, and that's not going to happen. I think maybe it's time for there to be some logic here and maybe meet in the middle, because I think they could play 81 or 82 games. What say you?
Baseball, I think they're going to wind up settling somewhere between, 50 and 114. Like, I think 80, I think, would be the right number of games I think they'll ultimately settle on. Andy Martino of SNY said that he thinks there's going to be baseball regardless. And I'm not an Andy Martino fan, but he has nailed a lot of things recently. He has, he nailed the Yankees going after Cole, and he nailed the Yankees not going after Harper and Machado, so I got to give him credit where credit's due. And then, he's reporting that there's going to be a baseball season no matter what. And all I got to say is that he better be right, because, I want there to be baseball. We need baseball. We need sports. That's my opinion. And
we can use it.
I do think ultimately – I ultimately think they're going to settle in on 80 games. And I like the idea of the expanded playoffs for baseball. I do.
Now, explain to me, either of you could take this, how the owners think that the players shouldn't get prorated salaries based on 162 games, 162 divided by whatever number of games they play. Because I think, of course, the players should. That's how it should be determined. What their salaries are. What are they thinking?
Dan, what do you think?
What I do?
What do you think about all this, the baseball stuff?
So the players, you know, Mike Trout makes, how much does he make? 40 million?
$40 million, yeah.
He does, right? If they let's say they wound up playing 80 games or 82 games or whatever it is, all right? So it should be 162 divided by the amount of games that the players play, shouldn't it? And that should be their salary. But baseball for some reason, baseball for some reason is making, they're trying to make it more difficult. And I don't really understand why. Like, shouldn't they be prorated? Who's the product?
You know why? Don't fool yourself.
Why?
Money. It's all about the money.
Oh, God.
It's all about the money. No, listen. Listen. They're saying, what is the big argument that they're saying, the owners are saying, why they want a shorter season? Because they're claiming that more games is going to make them lose money. So,
and
they're trying to cut down. They're trying to cut down on salaries. So what is that? Trying to gain more money. Don't pay the players as much. So when it comes down to, it's just a bunch of Mr. Krabs, as owners, all about their money, not wanting to pay SpongeBob and Squidward.
I do have an update for you. I know this will excite and thrill you to death, Dan.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Well, Mike Trout, his contract averages a little over $37 million for each year. Now, Mike Trout so far in 2020, based on simulated stats on the Baseball Reference site, through June the 2nd, that's today, is hitting .293 with 19 home runs and 41 RBIs with 57 walks and 65 strikeouts. And he has a 1.058 OPS, and it has a 3.5 WAR, the JPG favorite. There you go. So, Mike Trout,
looking good. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
To have a little fun, you know? I like to have a little fun, and I am.
Yeah, you're the life of the party, Derek. Yeah.
I am.
Hey, guys, let's go to the PS4. Well, it's not a video game system. It's a fucking school.
That was the name of my school. What do you want me to do? I mean, you want me to, like,
play
lie?
PlayStation 4, baby.
Public school 4.
When I come to New York City, Derek, when I come to New York City, I'm going to go to the PS4. I'm going to call it PlayStation 4. Right at the school.
What? I'll bring you to the school, and I will show you the schoolyard that I walked to the night the Rangers were eliminated by the Devils, by Rob's Devils, where I just sat. I sat for an hour, and then I called Rob up on the phone.
It's over. Henrique, it's over.
And the number 3 seed in the, what region did I put them in my Madison's Bracket of Pain? Henrique, it's over is in the painful region of Madison's Bracket of Pain. The 3 seed in the painful region.
I would say because he scored literally on top of every Ranger. Literally.
They all were dry humping the ice. Like, what were they doing? They were all, like, on fours. Like, nobody stood up. It's so embarrassing. Like, he scored, like, not even a minute in. Like, almost a minute. A little more than a minute in. But it was so embarrassing.
Well, Rob,
I hate that moment.
A different perspective on this one.
Well, Robert Davis still has 5.5 minutes if he would like to contribute. He's more than welcome to. Rob Davis.
I don't think he's going to call.
I don't think he's
going to call. I think Rob Davis did a great job on the show on Sunday night when he was on with Brian and you, Dan, and Derek.
He always does a good job. Because Rob is a very common sense kind of person.
I think we all do. I think all of us do great jobs when we do, whether it's this show or Brew Crew or whatever we do. I think we all do a good job. But I just have to say that I thought Rob did a great job.
Yeah, Brew likes to stir the pot on things. does like to stir the pot.
He does.
And he loves... Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So, Derek, either Thursday or Friday, I'll have you on my show to do a bracket of pain in one of these regions. Fortunately for you, you don't have to do the region. Your region I'm picking you to do is not the region that Henrique gets over is in, so you don't have to deal with that.
You know what?
Hey.
I know no matter what bracket it is, Madison, it's going to create a lot of pain, and it's going to invoke a lot of memories. So
I know.
I mean, when Rob decided...
You and Jeff Magchetti are coming on the same day. I'm going to have... Probably going to have Jeff Mags on first, and then I'm going to have you on second. So I'm going to do that on... Maybe Thursday. I'll have Jeff Magchetti on maybe at 5:45 or so, and you can come on at, like, 7:30 or something like that. I haven't talked to Mags yet, but he knows he's supposed to come on at the end of the week. I asked him. He said he's up for it. I'm probably going to give Mags the region that has... KP Taren is ACL, the Burris gunshot, A-Rod's playoff loss. Ooh, Mags is going to get a rough Rangers loss. The 17 playoff series loss to Ottawa. That's going to be in Maglicetti's region.
I don't think that's as painful as... And you know what? It was painful leaving the arena because when the Ottawa Senators recovered the puck, I didn't wait for the Senators to score into the open net. I started downstairs. I didn't want to see it. It's like, I don't know. And I'm a really...
Wait, they scored an empty net at the end of that game? I don't remember that.
Yeah, maybe they didn't.
I don't remember that. I don't think they did. I think they lost 3-2.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, I think you're right, but I just...
I think they lost 3-2. I remember I was at the bar that night, and I was so upset.
I just had no interest
in the
handshake.
Because I thought the Rangers were going to win that game.
I knew that they were
stayed.
Done.
I saw the handshake after the Lightning loss, though.
I stayed for the handshake,
and everyone chanted, Henrique.
You know what? I watched the handshake with the Lightning. I did watch
me
that
too.
One.
Me too. I watched that one, and the crowd was chanting Henrique the whole time. I'll never forget it. And I was literally crying. And my mom and I had her arms around me. I'm in tears. And I was actually like, Henry. Like I was in tears. Because I knew that was possibly, and it probably was the last hurrah in terms of chances they had to win the cup in the Lundqvist era. That's why I was such a mess.
Tampa.
I have that going far in my bracket. That's really far in my bracket, the ECF loss against Tampa.
Sometimes it's hard to believe that we got to see a goalie like him who was a 7th-round draft pick, and then I followed him when he played for Frölunda and winds up with the most wins for the franchise and wins a Vezina trophy and has a lot of great moments and has the most shutouts in franchise history and the most games played. And it's just hard for me to believe, that it's basically almost over. It might be over. So, or as Dan would say, Henrique, it's over. Oba.
Henrique, it's over!
I'm always going to say that Doc Emmerich was a homer on that call. And I love Doc Emmerich. I think he's the best hockey announcer to ever live. But he was an absolute homer on that call. I'm sorry.
He had a little bit of excitement for it. That's okay.
Yeah, even
I
think Robert Davis might agree with me there.
Robert Davis is still enjoying that moment. Because the last great one that his team has had.
Yeah, that was the best. Let's face it, that was probably the best moment the Devils had over the last decade. More so than the wins over the Kings in that Cup final.
Well, if you listen to Devil fans, they still go crazy over Steve Bergier getting a 5-minute major penalty. I mean, and they say, oh, well, we would have come all the way back. And just stop it already. Just stop.
I know. Game six, the 5-minute major in game
what
six.
Am I gonna,
I remember that.
That's like us saying, oh, well, they should have called Dwight King for goaltender interference. Well, no, duh, but you know what? I'm not going to cry about it and say we should have won. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do it.
I think we probably would have won. I'm not saying we would have won the cup, but who knows? We could have probably won game two had not that happened. Maybe the series goes 6 or 7 if that happens. Maybe we still lose. Who knows? But I think that's a spark
leads.
In the.
They had leads in all three of those games.
They did.
Oh, they did. And what happened in the third period? What were the shots?
20-3, 20-25-2.
That's true.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, that game two loss was brutal. I hated that game two loss.
Oh, my God.
That
was probably.
And Martinez. Oh, God. I hate the series, that game series. Although, in my bracket of glory, in my Madison bracket of glory that I'm making, the Rangers winning that game six against Montreal going to the Stanley Cup final is a one seed in that moment of glory bracket.
That's what it went. That's much of a mess. Let's put it that way. I would have that.
Yeah, these are one seeds in. But yeah, that's a one seed. Winning that game six against Montreal is a one seed because I couldn't think of anything else to put as. Because the other three obvious one seeds for me, like the rules of my bracket is from 2007 on because that's when I got into sports pretty much, or that's when I got into like football, basketball, hockey, and baseball around that age. So I did 2007 on because it's like my generation pretty much. And
it is.
Yeah. That's my generation. So I grew up with my other three one seeds are Giants over New England, Super Bowl 42. That's number one overall seed, and that's probably going to win the whole thing for the moment's glory. No doubt about it, that's probably going to win. 2009 World Series against the Phillies is on there, and the second Giants-Pats Super Bowl with the Manning.
2012
Super Bowl. Yeah, those are the other three ones. And that last one scene, I said it has to be the Rangers making the Stanley Cup final. I mean, I really don't have any other choice. But that bracket's not done yet. Among other things in that bracket, I don't know what seed numbers they're going to be yet. But just to give you a preview on that bracket, where is it? Where did I put that? 2020 fun folder?
I did.
Madison's bracket of glory.
What would you rather talk about? Moments of glory or moments of just forgetfulness and just dizziness?
Well, I know your moments of glory.
I'm talking about
Bill's
you.
First Super Bowl loss. Number two, Bill's second Super Bowl loss. Number three, Bill's the third Super Bowl loss. Number four, Super Bowl loss.
Oh,
my God.
so you can mock Brian and Robert.
What is Dan's moment? Dan, what is your number one moment of glory?
Crap.
Busting. I have a guess on it.
Tar Heels one was good. Cubs winning the World Series was amazing. I'll go with the Cubbies winning the World Series because been a fan for a while. And that it just brought closure for that whole amount of time that they stuck. All those years I would watch them on WGN, watch them suck and suffer.
Yeah.
And finally something great comes about it. But the Lightning Stanley Cup certainly is way high on the list. And also Carolina winning the NFC Championship the last time that they did is high on the list, too. I was juiced after that one.
There's a little bit of a four. I mean, I just thought you were going to say the Lightning winning the Cup, but I definitely understand why you like those, why you would put those other moments where you put them. So, especially the way the Cups won.
I did say on the other part, one of the names, the Lightning. That was. I remember that one because I tried to scalp tickets for Game 7, and I rushed home, and I watched the game from home.
Yeah.
And good thing
that was a great
series. That year I was.
I'm Tortorella.
Yeah. But I mean that year, I wasn't really doing too well with going to games. Because they would lose every time I go.
They were losing the game.
So thank God I didn't make it in that arena. I went to game one. And they lost.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember it. Yeah. Like, I mean, at least you got to go. I mean, I've been to one Stanley Cup game, and the Rangers got shut out. I guess the Kings.
I don't think mine is too far behind.
I mean, you know what my biggest regret would be? Why didn't I get playoff tickets to see the Yankees either 96 or 98? I should have gone to a game. Like, I'm such an idiot. What was I thinking?
You should have just asked your boy Mike Lupica. He would have hooked you up.
Do not mention that name, okay?
How many buttons am I going to jam
that
tonight?
Name. I know what you're trying to do, and it's working.
Roar! Get the dragon out! Roar!
He wants me to go nuts, Madison. Does.
Hey, guys, want to know what's featured in my Moments of Glory bracket?
What's
I'm going to make you guys guess. I think Derek might get it. This is a moment that actually happened against one of our favorite teams that actually got our fan base excited over something, made the bracket. Figure that one out.
This is something that happened against one of our own teams?
A moment that happened against one of our teams in a meaningless game that got us excited because it obviously it affected a rival.
It
negatively affected a rival.
I was gonna say at first I was gonna say like draft lottery, but that's not it. I mean, it can't be that.
It's not a draft lottery.
This is negatively affecting a rival. I don't think it has anything to do with the Red Sox. They've been having too much success.
It has to do with the Red Sox.
What does this have to do with Alex Cora? Yeah.
Nope.
We're talking.
It was well before Alex Cora.
Well before?
I would say maybe.
Well,
if I say what year it is, it's going to give it away. Terry Francona was still the manager at the time.
Was this involving a no-hitter?
Not a no-hitter.
Dan's on the right track. Tell.
It's not a no-hitter.
Perfect game.
It was something that happened against our team, but it negatively affected the Red Sox.
Something that happened against the Yankees that negatively affected the Red Sox. Maybe the Yankees
fans
the
are,
you said this was a good or bad thing?
This is a good thing, apparently,
it was,
according to her.
It was a bad thing for the Red Sox. It was a meaningless game for the Yankees that they lost that affected the Red Sox.
So,
oh, wait, I gave it away.
Oh,
I think I gave it away.
Blue Jays, maybe?
Close, it's in our division.
The Tampa Rays?
Baltimore?
No,
yes,
they never
Evan Longoria's walk-off home run. Remember the Red Sox collapsed in 2011?
Oh, well, yeah,
and
I remember that. That's what I thought it was going to be, because that was the year that they decided to get rid of him, Francona, who had done such a great job. And
they fired Francona after it collapsed.
Yeah, it's funny.
The Rays had to win that game against us to get that wild card game, and not only that, but the Red Sox had to lose to the Orioles. So the Rays had to win the game, and Boston had to lose to Baltimore. Boston lost to Baltimore.
I remember that. The Orioles part, I do remember, and that was bad for them. They couldn't beat them for some reason.
They lost to the Orioles, and then Longoria had to walk off like after the Orioles loss happened first, and then the Yankees lost to the Rays on a Longoria walk-off. And even funnier, Dellin Betances gave up the walk-off home, if I'm not mistaken.
It was September 28, 2011.
I think it was off of Dellin Betances, of all people.
The more that you talk about it, the more I actually remember it. So I remember following like the Red Sox, and I was like, wow, they're losing to the Orioles again. And the Yankees were playing the Rays, and I do remember Longoria hitting one out. And Longoria used to kill the
meaningless game for the Yankees. Yankees had the one seed locked up. Like, the Yankees had no business winning that game or whatever. I remember saying to myself, okay, I hate rooting for my team to lose, but it'd be only funny if the Red Sox lose to the Orioles and the Rays beat us and the Red Sox are out of the postseason. Like I said, meaningless game for the Yankees. Had the one seed wrapped up. Yeah, I love that moment because it eliminated the Red Sox. That's why it's in the moments of glory bracket.
No, that's the right one that I sent. All right. Actually, in the Ray Stadium, it's pretty cool because they have in a wall about that day, and they were just going over all the things that happened because that was a pretty wild day because the Rays got in that one.
But it has to be in there. You know what else is in the moments of glory? I think Brew will be excited to hear this moment in the moments of glory. Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh my goodness gracious! That was 2007, so that qualifies for the bracket.
Oh my God!
That's in the moments of glory.
Well, that's just glory for everyone.
The reason why it's in there is because of Susan Waldman's call, but maybe it's 2007. It's Roger Clemens.
You know something?
Roger Clemens.
If we had Brian on, Brian gets juiced. Brian gets so juiced for that Roger Clemens thing. He really does.
Well, yes, I do, Derek. I get very excited about it.
What's next? Are you going to do your, like, John Genorio?
No, I don't have a Genorio one. I had
I can't do a Genorio either. I don't know.
I did a Genorio girlfriend one from back in the day.
You did?
Yeah. I did a John girlfriend one. He wasn't a fan of that one, but there was the great GQ did that one.
The great GQ. To do about the GQ show.
Good thing great you don't. She probably got in at the right time.
thought she got it at the right time. Mr.
That
Wheeler.
That is what she said.
Mr. Wheeler, what are we going to do with you?
Don't know. What are you
going to do? You don't know.
What are you going to do?
Well, I said hello to our Taiwan resident. I think it's hilarious that he's in Taiwan. Oh,
why?
What's he doing in Taiwan?
Well, his girlfriend lives in Taiwan, so he decided to move to Taiwan.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
A hell of a lot of sense. Yep.
Well, I mean, to be real honest, it's a lot more peaceful outside of the United States of America in a lot of places.
Is JPG listening?
JPG?
No.
No, JPG is just being weird. No, he's definitely not listening.
No,
he's just in chat.
No.
Stirring things up. Yeah.
Derek likes to bring up people that aren't on the show or aren't around.
I do.
So that
I do.
It tickles his fancy. Gets him off.
Oh, I just realized that's why he puts it. He like is in the group chat at a bunch of weird times. Like when I go to bed, and like I look at the chat randomly. Like when I wake up at like say maybe like 9:30 in the morning or so, and like JPG writes something at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Now it all makes sense because it's probably like what time in Taiwan? 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's an exact 12-hour time differential between here and there. So if it's 10:17 here, it's 10:17 in the morning there. Yeah. Breakfast.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So it's breakfast time there.
We should ask him what he had for breakfast.
Think of this. When we talk to John, we are time traveling. Our messages come today and go tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
What's for breakfast today in Taiwan?
I just funny. I just like pushing him a little.
That's so funny.
Trying to get some kind of response. And he always
this is
takes,
great.
Like the first time. That's a real answer.
Yeah, because you know.
You know, this whole thing is like, well, what are they supposed to do? Just stay inside their houses and not have protests? I'm not saying that it's perfect. It's not perfect. Not a perfect thing. But JPG was smart. He was smart. Oh, God. JPG still owes me. You know what he owes me? You know what he owes me? Tofu with spicy vegetables and Taiwan sauce. Taiwanese sauce. Still waiting for it. I want to know about the spicy sauce.
When are you going to eat this shoe? When are you eating that shoe, Derek?
Hey, I tried to eat the shoe. I had
the
shoe in my mouth. Me and JPG were eating out. Go ahead and ask JPG. Ask him. Did you take a picture of Derek with his shoe off, pretending that he was going to, like, eat his shoe? Yeah, you could ask him. Point blank. See what he says. I also have hot sauce. I also have the hot sauce ready. True story. I know that you doubt it. You doubt me. You all doubt me. Because I'm unpredictable. I'm a very unpredictable person. very unpredictable. Mr. Wheeler.
Mr. Felix.
Are you excited for AEW tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, it just kicks me off.
Madison, you have a brother, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Older or younger?
Younger. He is 3 years younger than me. I had to do the math there for a second.
So he's 21, maybe?
Yes.
21, yeah. When is your birthday?
My birthday is in January. Next January, I'm going to be half a century old. Or, I'm sorry, not a half century, a quarter of a century old.
You don't
want to
get ahead of yourself.
With the math. I know, Derek. I'm very bad math there.
Derek, are you looking for her street address, or are you looking for the make of her first car? What else do you need? Hair follicles?
No, I was actually just asking a question. I was asking a question.
I was there. He most certainly did not.
Dan Wheeler, what are we going to do with you? Dan Wheeler. I have a December birthday. I'm a Sagittarius
person. Oh, you remember the way you wanted to.
Did you know that Robert Davis has a birthday in December also? The Robert Davis?
Why do you need a collection of the birthdays, dude?
I don't know. You know who else has a birthday in December?
You?
Anybody?
Your mom?
Guess? No. My mom's birthday is coming up in July. My mom's birthday is next month, July 19th, to be exact.
JNF's birthday.
JNF is a day after Colin. Colin's birthday is October 22nd. Justin's birthday is October 23rd.
Is it Mike Lupica's birthday in December?
I don't know about anything about Mike Lupica other than he's a washed-up hack, and Larry Brooks needs to join him on the sideline.
That was my next guess.
Oh, my God,
Lupica
and Francesca.
I so want to troll Larry Brooks because Larry Brooks wrote without fact-checking that Eric Lindros won the Calder Trophy in 92-93. He did not win the Calder. Thibaut Salat had, 76 goals and 132 points. He's an idiot. When did he decide to write this article? Does anybody check these things? Ah, Lindros had a great year actually. He scored over 40 goals in his first year, but he did not win Rookie of the Year. What is wrong with this guy? Oh my God.
Is it Dance? I'm trying to figure out. Is it Dance and Larry's birthday in December?
Brian Sanhorn has a birthday, December 30th. He shares a birthday. Oh, you're going to love this. I got a trivia question. I think you both can get it. What famous current star player that I'm kind of obsessed with has a birthday with Brian Davis?
LeBron.
Yes. Correct. Good job.
Yep. Good job.
Yep. Shares a birthday. They share a birthday. And what former famous NBA star that still plays in the league, could have won an MVP, shares a birthday with me on December 8th? Need a hint? Will you stop?
Give me the hint again.
I'll give you a
hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the middle of watching a movie right now. I'm watching Beauty and the Beast. It's actually on TNT. It's the live action Beauty and the Beast.
You should go.
So I just wanted to call
movie.
In for a little bit.
Because,
well, just going, Derek. You bored her to death.
Because this show is going to be dead in like 5 minutes anyway. The answer is Dwight
dead.
Howard. Dwight.
Oh, Dwight Strange Fright.
Yeah, I hear about
Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Dwight.
If you do a show at the same time again tomorrow, I could very well be on.
Oh, well, I mean, I just wanted to do an earlier one. I'm glad you were able to take part. And who knows? Maybe tomorrow will be a different time. Who knows? Who knows?
All right, keep me posted.
Thank you
party
for joining
on
us.
And, party on, dude.
And I can't wait for your bracket of pain. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Of course. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Peace out, guys.
All right. Thank you. All right. That is the one and only Madison Miller of the Madison Miller podcast, which can be followed on her Anchor, on Anchor over there. And she does it pretty daily. And, Dan, you've listened to a lot of her podcasts. You are a fan.
Peyton Manning, call the show. Bring it on.
You come on already. You know, we should convince JPG to somehow call into this thing, somehow put him through.
Peyton Manning, call the show.
We are an old.
He can't do that. Derek, he can't do that. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, I know. He's all upset. He's like, what? Didn't he try to do it through, what's that app? What's that app that you could do it through?
I think we tried WhatsApp.
No, I thought it was something else. I noticed that when you... Will you stop? Sanger's been gone for... you have a memory that, like, it, like, defies logic. I mean, you're like my brother. My brother's like an encyclopedia.
Okay.
He is an encyclopedia. He is.
You're an encyclopedia.
You know... When I first started this show, it was in 2007, man. Holy crap. What? Like, it was that long ago.
You're an old fart now.
Yeah. I'm just a psychopath. That's all I am. I'm an
That's
urban
all.
Psychopath.
That's it.
What about you? What are you?
I'm too complex for words. I'm all the above.
If you had like a blog, what would you blog about if you could write about something, anything? Well, it doesn't matter what it is.
I don't know. Hookers, I don't
nope.
know. I don't know.
You're going to say like boobs. Oh, man. You notice how, like, the show just goes off the fringe? Like, it just starts to fly off the handle as soon as somebody leaves. You ever notice that about this show?
You did what with memes?
I did a show called Drunken Tuesdays once. Why? What the hell?
Hmm.
What the hell? Drunken Tuesdays, man?
Man.
We also did a JPG birthday bash at midnight for 2015. That's pretty
good.
Maybe I should link that up and see what that sounds like. I don't know. How old was JPG? Was 20. He was 20. He was a young lad.
In 2016?
No, September 16th. Remember, he was born 85. Wait, this says 4 years ago. Maybe you're right and maybe I'm wrong. You may be right. I may be crazy.
John's my age.
But I'm just the lunatic you're looking for. No, this does say 916, 2015. It does. He was 30,
not 20.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with me?
A lot.
There is a lot wrong with me.
Enough of the suicide investigations, damn it.
There are so many things that I look into. I don't know. There are so many, like, events that I look into, Dan, and they just interest me for some reason. I don't know. I don't know if that's just the mental part of me. I just have, like, a different mind than most people. I did take a physical hospital. That's a true story. My brother might have been there for that. I think JNF was there for it. So, yeah. Yeah, man. I'm pretty sure I did a celebratory Chicago Cubs show as well. Let's see. See if we could find that.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I've done a lot of shows on this thing, so it's like a lot of them were like on and off. See, if we had stayed consistent, we could have become a brand, man. We could have become a brand.
You also had celebratory shows every time the Bills got eliminated from the playoffs.
No, I didn't, man. Because our show, don't go back that far, okay?
Oh, yeah,
my show
don't
go back that far. Come on.
Buffalo's eliminated. Oh, yes.
You know what my favorite is? My favorite is when Brian just, like, goes berserk. And he's like, and he starts, like, mocking. He starts making fun of my brother. He's like, how does it feel? Oh, so cold. How does it feel? How does it feel? How's it feel to lose?
It is kind of fucked up the way he says it. What he says is that the Bills, the second they got eliminated, you fuckers are calling him, saying, "How's it feel?"
I didn't realize that it was going to be a big deal for me to see how my friend is doing. I don't know. I didn't realize that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just different. I can take losses as tough as they are. Somebody calls me, I'll talk about those. What is the word I'm looking for? I can't believe I don't know this, man. I'm not just going to go psycho girl, whatever that word is. And I'm not just going to turn my phone off and toss it out the window because my team loses. Like some people. I don't do that. You know who does
that?
Jay Beck does
that. Who?
Jay Beck does that when his team loses. His phone just gets shut off. And you can't talk to him when his team loses.
Well, I know somebody that if you question him, he gets all pissed off and storms out of the chat room. Who would that be?
Me?
Yes. You're smart. Oh, you don't agree with me. I'm going to die.
What's the deal with that picture? It's just, man, it's just tough. It's tough to look at, man.
What picture are you talking about?
This. The Blasio, oh my God.
What picture are you talking about?
She looks like somebody from like a scary movie. Like
somebody possessed her.
I almost want to run away from my phone screen right now. She's so scary. Okay.
It's pretty freaky. She got her eyes
wide. By the way,
I
got this text from my friend Tim. He went on a rant about the Democrats here in the city. He just went berserk here. You want me to read you some of this? Our a-hole mayor attacked the Jews for not social distancing. But he's not talking about Jews like us, but like the other kind of Jews that when they're at a funeral, which was correct. But he says absolutely nothing about the protesters or looters. The city has really turned to shiznit. I live my life to the fullest and have always treated people with respect regardless of ethnicity or faith. Yeah, same here. I don't feel like I should be shamed into posting something that shouts equality. Ah, you know me. You already know I'm not the R word. I don't need to prove it to the world. We have a judicial system that will take care of the officers that committed the horrific act. Well, they better. If they went to court and were acquitted, then I can understand the madness. The looting and rioting needs to stop, but our fearless leaders want the middle class to be afraid and leave New York so they will do nothing about it. He's right. Oh, man. Well, that has a lot to do with the hired guns. The hired guns. And those are hired guns of the extreme left. Yeah, those are the hired guns of the extreme left.
Riveting.
He also says the term white privilege is racial profiling. I'm white and I work my ass off for what I have today. Nobody gave me anything. That's what's great about this country. You can accomplish anything. There's a right way and a wrong way to protest. The far left is behind all this. Scott's going to say, at least enjoy your night under curfew. What a joke. Time to move down south.
You can be anywhere you want, anywhere you want to be. So that's just a thing they talk about. That's only American. You can be any fucking thing you want, anywhere. Derek, you have a bachelor's degree. You can go teach English.
That wasn't me speaking, by the way, but.
No. I'm not saying that. I understand that. I'm just saying this idea that only in America you can accomplish great things is bullshit.
It's bullshit.
So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I agree.
Son, I got pizza waiting for my use, so...
All right, man. I was about to call it anyway, so... there was all
real.
Enjoy. What kind of pizza is it? I should ask you that. At least I should.
It is a specialty pizza I make. It's a tombstone pizza, and I cake the whole pizza covered in pepperoni, and I cover
really?
It with cheese on top of that. Yep.
Well, that sounds delightful. Well, Dan, enjoy your pepperoni pie. Thank you for, again, being a very unique and entertaining voice.
And that's me.
Yep. And it will continue to be you. All right. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of The Hardest Show. And we certainly covered a lot of different things tonight, and there were sports involved. There was actual sports involved, so I'm very happy about that. So I don't want to continue to do a show about the same theme. In terms of what my friend said in his text, I have some thoughts about that, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it because, look, this is one show. It was fun to do. And now it's time to
turn out the lights. The party's over.
For Dan Wheeler, Madison Miller, you can follow on her Anchor podcast, the Madison Miller podcast on Anchor.fm. And this is the one and only Derek Felix Deflex signing off. Enjoy the rest of your evening. And don't be a stranger. Good night.